This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
844, former friend of the show, and I believe still a friend of the show.
Yeah, that came out weird.
No, not at all. Just setting up the introduction.
Yeah.
Gary McCarthy's here, Chicago police superintendent for so many years. And now you can go to GaryForMayor.com, leadership for a change. It's a great slogan.
Yeah, we like it because you can interpret it two different ways, you know, leadership for change or leadership for change.
I'd like to say that anybody can run and anybody can win no matter how much the money matters. The money matters more than ever. Are you going to be able to raise enough money to be competitive the rest of the way?
I think so. We're doing pretty well. We're at about $1.5 million at this point raised, but it's very expensive to get on the broadcast TV. It's something like $250,000 a week, which is why, you know, when people like Tony Preckwinkle can pick up $1 million from two different unions and not be beholden to them also, by the way, that's what she insists on. We need campaign reform here. Absolutely.
So let's talk about a business you know well. You were an East Coast cop. You chased a lot of bad guys, including organized crime types. Organized crime figure shouldn't be in the city council, but the aldermen this week are talking like they're all mafia thugs. What do you make of the whole Solise mess?
I think that we're going to see a lot more fallout from that. I think I read that there were 18,000 conversations recorded. I think we're going to see daisy chains coming out of City Hall, and I think it's deserved based upon what we're hearing. Like you said, street thuggery. Snitches get stitches, right? That's what we heard. They weren't outraged at the fact that Danny Solise obviously was being arrested by the feds, along with, obviously, Ed Burke. They were outraged at the fact that he turned against the family.
Well, but talk about that for a second, because I remember a million times when you were on the show and you were talking about one of the policies we have to work on the West Side is for the neighborhoods to trust the cops enough, because their no snitch policy is deadly for the people that live in those neighborhoods. These same aldermen are the people who are calling out the no snitch policy in the neighborhoods where people are fighting for their lives. I mean, the hypocrisy is unbelievable.
It really is, and that's what's really troubling to me. And since I've been here, I've been focused on reducing gun violence, and I still am. But I've come to realize that I've been saying nothing's going to change until we first make the city safe. Nothing's really going to change until we first have some ethics in city government.
How about that? Crazy idea.
And you know, that's going to be what I'm pursuing for the rest of this campaign, because it's obviously preventing Chicago from moving forward. And it infects everything that happens in this city, from getting contracts and permits to the lack of transparency in the Chicago way, with a wink and a nod.
How, as mayor, would you approach transparency, ethics reform, and what's happening right now in city council?
Well, it's interesting, because the first policy after I announced my candidacy way back in March, I believe I was the second person to announce, before all the politicians from the 90s jumped in. the 90s called, they want their politicians back.
Yeah, right.
But we announced the first policy was our ethics and government policy. And I would expand the Office of Inspector General. I would also empower the Office of Inspector General. As a matter of fact, at this point, I would probably look to create a task force with the FBI and Chicago PD to work specifically on corrupt politicians in city government, because it's just a way of life here. The thing that drives me nuts is the fact that we accept it. Nobody is shattered by these revelations. Everybody is like, yeah, well, it's Chicago. That's what happens here. If we always do what we always did, we're always going to get what we always got.
But this is where the mayor's sway over city council is really important.
Exactly.
You don't need too much. You don't need too little. But when they make the rules on how they're governed,
right,
how do you govern them in a different way? Because if I'm an alderman and I take care of my district and I make sure that all the kids are taken care of and I make sure the traffic light works and the stop sign's okay and the potholes are fixed, maybe I'm not so incentivized to get rid of my guy.
Well, you're presuming that all of those things are happening. And when I talk to people across the city, it's not happening. And, you know, just I want you to think about the ward redistricting and the gerrymandering that goes on. What's happening in Chicago is that the elected officials are choosing who their constituents are, not the constituents choosing who their elected
officials
are.
It's completely upside down.
Everything is completely upside down. But we accept it. You know, I argue with my wife constantly about this, among other things, obviously.
Yeah.
But she says to me, Gary, it's never going to change. And I say, it's never going to change until somebody changes it.
Yeah, you can't have that attitude. You really can't.
You just can't. We got to move forward.
One more and we'll take a break.
Well, I want to get into, you know, obviously we've been having these conversations with different candidates, and it's really come down to schools, it come down to policing, and also what's going to happen in City Hall when it comes to the pensions and the finances. For you, how do you convince somebody who knows your record as a police chief, superintendent, and your work in law enforcement that you can be successful in areas outside of that?
You know, people are trying to cubbyhole me. They say, well, the guy's a police officer. That's great. He knows policing, but what does he know? I know a lot about management. I was at the top of three major cities in, you know, government in three major cities in this country for 17 years. I learned a little bit. I've managed $1.4 billion budgets. So it's not as simple as just saying, you know, he's just a policeman. No, I'm a manager. And one of the smartest things that the NYPD did was they trained managers in business management at Columbia University School of Business. And that's the process that we use in the NYPD to reduce crime, business management of crime. That's what we need to do with city government. It doesn't mean that I'm going to have the spreadsheet and you know, I'm you know, counting decimal points. I'm going to hire the best people to do it, but we have an outstanding platform that addresses gun violence, taxes, the pension issue. One of the things that was really frustrating to me was we sat down with the Tribune editorial board, and when they asked a question about the pensions, I laid out a plan in the first year to come up with almost $400 million that will get us through that first payment. And then they went and said nobody was specific on how to do it. I was very specific on it. So,
well, I should be frustrated about it.
It's very frustrating trying to get the message out. What I would encourage people to do is, like Steve said, go to GaryForMayor.com, and that's Gary with two R's, the proper spelling.
Two R's, and also F-O-R, not the number four.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you could look at our platform. Each one of those issues, the gun violence, the taxes, the school system, affordable housing, every one of those issues is intimately interrelated. You can't fix one and not fix all of them if we expect the city to move forward.
Texters' questions at 312-981-7200, and we'll come back with more with Gary McCarthy in just a second. GaryForMayor.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Every candidate for mayor comes through this show, and we thank them for making the effort, including Gary McCarthy, who's here right now, GaryForMayor.com. As you know, this is a great city. You wouldn't be living here. You want to be mayor because you want this city to be as good as it can be and better. There are a lot of things that are working in this city, and we focus on the stuff that's not because that's part of this the topic. How do you keep the cranes above the skyline? How do you keep business development going, the positive role we have in different things?
Well, again, this is on our website, too. We have a vision that we can hold on to the downtown, and that development will continue, but we have to work on the neighborhoods. And part of my plan is to bring back the vocational schools and put the apprenticeships right into the high schools so that we create a trained workforce. We're going to give...
Because everybody doesn't have to go to college.
And even if you do, you're not going to use your degree all the time for what you do in life.
Right. Learn a trade.
I mean, I was going to be a lawyer. Took a different path, obviously. But train that workforce and then give small businesses and startups tax incentives to go to the neighborhoods and employ those people. Assume all of these abandoned properties across the city, rehab them with those individuals, creating, obviously, economic stimulus. Use TIF funding the way it's supposed to be used by state law.
Right.
And we can create jobs in the neighborhoods because that's going to change the dynamic that's happening here in Chicago. We can hold on to downtown at the same time.
Let's talk police because you, of course, made your name here in Chicago as police superintendent. You were fired by the mayor after the release of the Laquan McDonald video.
Right.
It led to a consent decree, a federal consent decree, which is still being negotiated in the courts. Where are you on the consent decree? And what can you do as mayor to deal with what we see in fracture between some minority communities and the police department?
So I'll answer the second question first. The first thing we have to do is recognize the problem, which is the social economic divide. And the police are the 10% of the iceberg that you can see. There's a failed system here. You talk about trust in the police. It's trust in the system. The first thing we have to do is bring legitimacy to city government if we're going to have legitimacy in the police department. I want you to think about the fact that, and this is not a knock on Eddie Johnson, but when the mayor appointed Eddie Johnson, he had the city council change the law for one day to appoint somebody who didn't apply for the job. Well, I'm sorry. There's a law in place there's municipal law that defines how the police superintendent is found. So we can't have legitimacy in the police if we don't have legitimacy in government. We know there's no legitimacy in government. We call it the Chicago way. As far as the consent decree goes, it's a flawed document. I've read all 28 of the consent decrees that were written during the Obama administration. This one is way off base. It's recommending things that are already done in the department. For instance, the way that we got the lowest number of police shootings, down 68% during my tenure, was by changing the policy on shooting at vehicles. They're now recommending that they adopt the policy that I put in place in 2014. The other thing that's really bad about this, three other things. First of all, I don't know who the police policy expert was who participated in this, because there's a lot of police policies that are being thrown out the window in this consent decree. The second thing is, it's taking supervisors off the street from supervising to document behaviors. That is going to cause chaos. If we actually have a crime strategy, it's not going to be executed because supervisors aren't going to be on the street. By the way, if the cops aren't being supervised, who knows what they're going to be doing? That's a recipe for disaster. And the last thing is, it's incredibly expensive to do this. That consent decree is incredibly flawed. New Orleans spent $55 million on their consent decree. There's a roadmap out there written by the President's 21st Century Task Force on Policing that came out of the Chicago plan that's recommended for how you should do policing. In 2015, it was written.
Okay, if there's no consent decree, do you believe that there is reform needed in the Chicago Police Department?
I was reforming the police department. We were creating a business management model and a meritocracy of moving people ahead based upon their work ethic and their talent levels, not who they were hooked up with. Which is what we do here constantly, and then we expect performance. If you don't create a performance-based dynamic in the organization, we're going to get what we got, which is a mess right now.
Do we have more bad cops in Chicago than New York? Or Philly?
There's bad cops everywhere.
But it's a tiny percentage,
it's
right?
It's a very small percentage, and at the end of the day, they need to be identified, prosecuted if they violate the law, or fired if they violate policy. I've been saying that from day one.
How big a priority would you make it, considering the millions and millions and millions we've paid out in settlements?
Well, first of all, we got something called accreditation, which is the gold standard for your policies in the policing. I started this. It finished about 8 months ago. That's supposed to reduce settlements and lawsuits by about 30%. Let's realize that, and let's start fighting these things instead of settling them. We're giving out money to people who we should be getting money from. We settle everything. I was conferred with exactly once by the Corporation Council on a settlement.
Would you give the superintendent more power to help in that regard? Because the mayor can't be in on all of that.
Absolutely. You got to realize, Steve, my position as superintendent had it that I was accountable for everybody's behavior in the department.
Right.
But I wasn't in charge of the discipline system. How can that be?
No, they can't be parallel lines. They have to intersect.
And 75% of my recommendations to terminate police officers during my tenure was overturned by the Civilian Police Board. So just think about what that means. So accountability without authority equals failure. It's a bad business practice. That's what we have here. I wasn't in charge of the investigation until the Laquan McDonald shooting.
Right.
That was IPRA. Now it's COPA, so I'm sure it's much better since they changed the name. But
that was East Coast sarcasm there that he's brought to the Midwest, just so we're translation.
But at the end of the day, the superintendent needs more authority if we're going to give them more accountability.
All right. Speaking of boards, last question for this time, and obviously we'll talk again, involves the school board. There is a great question about whether or not the school board should be elected or appointed. Elected, give the public a voice in it. We know how big a deal the school board is in making decisions, helping, hurting, whatever. You talk a lot about education
right.
at GaryForMayor.com. It's a very energetic plan. I give you a lot of credit for it.
Thank you.
What do you say about the school board?
Partially elected. Because it goes back to what I just said. If I'm going to be accountable for what happens in the schools, I should have people, like-minded people, but also give the community a voice. And by the way, this really came to light with what happened with the National Teachers Academy. When the city moved to close that school, 80% African-American, a high-performing school that did everything they needed to do to get in line, but the community didn't allow it to happen. So very clearly, the community needs to have a voice in what happens with the schools, but by the same token, accountability without authority doesn't work. So I like a hybrid board, partially elected, partially appointed, but we could create whatever we want. Right? It doesn't have to be 7 members. It could be 10. It could be 12. It could be 15. We could take those individuals who get elected from the actual school councils that are out there now who know what they're talking about, and we could make the term whatever we want it to be. So we have an opportunity to create this so that we could get the best possible result, and we need to do that. But there's 2 things people don't like: the way things are and change, and we got to face that.
You're a really smart guy. I've known you for a long time. I've also heard you're a pain in the ass to work for. So are you willing to learn? Are you willing to listen to people? Are you willing to have people tell you stuff that maybe you thought you already knew?
Absolutely. I do that all the time. As a matter of fact, it's funny to hear that I'm a pain in the ass to work for. I think that probably means that I'm a demanding supervisor, which is okay.
Every boss hears that.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. But some of my best ideas came out of focus groups with police officers. So I'm the type of person who walks the plant, as we say, and I'm not going to be sitting in an office. One of the questions that they asked us at a forum, which naturally they didn't ask me, they asked all the other candidates, it seemed, was, what am I going to do on the first day? What's the first phone call? And, you know, when I sit down behind that desk, and the answer that I would give is, I'm not going to be in the office on the first day. I'm going to be
Message.
You can't see the wizard.
Right.
No, but I'm going to be out in the field, as we say, talking to people, and I'm going to bring City Hall to the community, not the other way around.
Listen, I salute the effort, man. Keep running.
I haven't had a good scrap in a while. This is kind of fun.
Somehow I don't think you miss a week without a good scrap. We just don't hear about them. It's Gary McCarthy again, GaryForMayor.com. 2 R's, GaryFor, GaryForMayor.com. You'll be back, and we'll talk more.